Today we have Matthew chapter 18, one of the Lord's most, powerful stories, one of his best parables. It's called the parable of the unforgiving debtor. And the reason why the Lord brought this up was because St. Peter had asked him a question about how often should I forgive someone? And you have to love St. Peter. He always has the best intentions, but he usually says the wrong thing. And as people said, sometimes people put their foot in their mouth. As one author says, Peter only opened his mouth to exchange feet, because that's the way Peter was. So he comes up with this question, Lord, if somebody sins against me, how often should I forgive him? And St. Peter is very magnanimous. He says, I'm willing to forgive seven times. Okay, that was pretty generous for St. Peter. And because there was always a tradition among the scribes and the Pharisees and the sort of the Old Testament philosophy was that you could forgive somebody three times, okay? That was like three strikes and you're out. That was sort of the rule back then. So forgive somebody three times, but after the fourth time, you don't no longer have to forgive. So Peter, of course, goes well beyond that. He says, I'm going to forgive somebody seven times. And the Lord says, no, I tell you, not 70 times, but now sometimes it's the original language can either be 77 times or 70 times seven times. It could go either way with the original Greek New Testament. But in other words, don't keep track. It should be unlimited. Don't limit your willingness to forgive. If somebody is truly sorry, truly repentant, and comes to you and asks forgiveness, then don't limit it to three times, four times, seven times. But if it's more than that, don't even keep track. Don't limit it at 77 or whatever. So that expression, 77 or 70 times seven, just means there is no limit. And thanks be to God, there is no limit on God's forgiveness towards us. And so then to drive this home, the Lord gives, again, one of his most interesting parables about this man who owed the king a huge amount. Now, we miss a lot in the English translation, but if you go back to the original language, this huge amount that this man owed the king was 10,000 talents, which was an astronomical sum. That's how much King David donated to build the temple in Jerusalem, 10,000 talents, which today is the equivalent of $20 million. Okay, $20 million. It's something that nobody could pay back in their lifetime. It was just impossible. So, because there was no way to pay this $20 million back, the king decided to, sell this man into slavery with his wife, children, all his property and possessions. But the man fell to his knees and begged the king, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Of course, that was impossible. There's no way that he could pay this back in full. But what happens? The king has compassion. The king has mercy and forgiveness. And so what he does is he just forgives the entire debt. He just wipes it clean. Imagine that. I would hope that we would be very grateful for that. It would change our life. We'd be so filled with love and compassion for everyone else that we would then become so loving and forgiving ourselves to realize this whole debt had been forgiven us of this $20 million. Well, Jesus says the man who had just been forgiven this huge debt, he was not sold into slavery, his wife and children, property were not sold. He goes out and he bumps into a fellow who owes him, it says, a much smaller amount. The original text says 100 denarii, which is basically $20, okay? So $20 million versus $20. And so he grabs this guy and throttles him by the neck and says, pay me back what you owe. See, this guy was so ungrateful. The forgiveness he had just received had not changed his heart. He was now trying to throttle this guy for $20. And as one author says, the second servant echoed the request of the first servant. He fell to his knees and begged him and said the exact same thing. Give me time, give me patience. And says he did not request the cancellation of the debt. Instead, he promised to repay it, which certainly would be possible to repay somebody $20. The only difference between the two scenarios was that the second servant's request was possible, whereas the first man, that was impossible. This fellow would be able to pay back his debt given a little bit of time. But this man was unwilling to hear that, and he threw him into prison until he paid back the whole debt. Well, other servants heard about this. They go to the king and they explain the situation. And so now the king calls back the original guy. He says, "I can't believe this. I forgave your $20 million, and yet you would not forgive this man $20. So then it says he throws him into prison and hands him over to the torturers until he would pay back the whole amount, which of course is impossible. So the Lord concludes by saying, "So will your heavenly Father treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." And this, of course, is the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we want God to forgive us our big debts, we have to forgive those who have their small debts against us. And really, compared to the sins of humanity, compared to our sins to God, that's like a $20 million debt. It's not something we could make up for. That's why Jesus died on the cross for us and opened the gates of heaven and redeemed us. So God has forgiven each of us of $20 million worth of debt, because that's what it means that Jesus died on the cross for us and opened the gates of heaven and paid the price so we would not go to hell. But we have to accept that, and it has to change our life and make us more forgiving, more loving people. So we come across the people in our life that sort of still have offended us because of the $20, we need to, obviously it says, forgive them. And if we don't forgive that person the small things that they do against us, nor will God be able to forgive us what we have done against God. And really, any mortal sin that a person commits is like this $20 million debt that we cannot pay back. But it is Jesus Christ, through his passion, death, and resurrection, that his willingness to forgive us when we go to confession, and we come out of confession with its huge weight of $20 million off our shoulders, and yet how do we treat one another? Are we willing to forgive those that have sinned against us? That's what the Our Father says. God, forgive me to the exact degree that I'm willing to forgive those who sin against us. So forgiveness is what this whole gospel is about. God has forgiven us the debt of our eternal damnation by his passion, death, and resurrection, and by giving us the grace to repent. How much more should we be loving and forgiving towards those who sin against us? So forgiveness is such a wonderful blessing. If we forgive others, God will forgive us. If we don't forgive others, God will not be able to forgive us. And if people hold on to unforgiveness, it becomes like a cancer that lives within their heart and soul. If we hold on to unforgiveness, it breeds bitterness and resentment, and it's not good for us physically, emotionally, or spiritually. We have to forgive. The Bible says holding on to unforgiveness is like holding hot coals in your hand. If you're the one who's going to be hurt the most. But if you let go of those hot coals, your hands will have a chance to heal, and you'll be in pain if you're willing to forgive. And there are people that have remained unforgiving for 10, 20, 40, 50 years. They won't forgive. If they don't forgive, they're still giving that person who offended them 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, power over their life, right? You see that? If you forgive, though, that person no longer has that power over your life. When you forgive them, you then begin the healing process. So what a powerful story we have today, this amazing parable of the unforgiving servant.